Well, Valentine's Day is Sunday, and we wanted to know what really happens to your heart when you're in love and when you're sad because it's broken. Dr. Peter Crawford is director of the Cardiovascular Metabolism Program at Sanford Burnham Prebys Medical Discovery Institute in Florida. He's a physician scientist specializing in researching how the heart works, and he joins us now by phone. Welcome, Dr. Crawford.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you. So tell us a little bit about your area of research. What is cardiovascular metabolism?
Well, this I'm particularly fortunate around this time of year, around Valentine's Day, to be a cardiovascular specialist and researcher at Sanford Burnham Prebys. It's obviously an opportunity to share what we're doing with multiple communities and have an opportunity to engage on what we think is important from a national health perspective and even a global health perspective. What we're particularly interested in is understanding how the nutrients that we eat in the form of sugars and fats and proteins are processed by our body in a way that then delivers fuel that can be used by organs like the heart, and how those fuels are processed in a way that can be helpful to help those organs like the heart work, and how those fuels can be processed in a way that can be unhelpful in a manner that might either predispose to cardiovascular disease or make cardiovascular disease worse. And so a lot of what we're trying to do is understand the relationship between what we eat and other environmental stresses that we might encounter over the course of our lives, and then put that all together with our DNA, with our genome, and then try to come up with a picture that will allow us to identify places where we can come in and either make prudent recommendations or ultimately intervene if necessary with new forms of medical therapy that can either prevent or treat heart disease and obviously give people an opportunity to live longer and more healthy lives.
Okay. And I understand that not only do nutrients affect your heart, but actually your emotions and your brain can directly affect your heart, for example, when you're in love. Can you tell us about how the heart physically reacts when a person is in love?
What a great time of year to talk about that, obviously. So when the heart is responding to emotions of feeling in love or on the other side of the spectrum that's not so fortunate of feeling heartbroken, it really is a feeling, a sensation that we perceive in our chest. But really it's driven by the brain, and that's really a point that is, I think, very important for all of us to appreciate. Is it really does come down to a brain-heart connection when we're interpreting those feelings. When we think of an organ like the heart, it's certainly the commander of its own ship, if you will, but at the same time, it's heavily influenced by inputs from other organs. And in turn, the heart can kind of give some dialogue back. But particularly that relationship between the brain and the heart, and when we're thinking about being in love or feeling in love or being heartbroken, really what's happening is connections between our brain and the heart are being activated in ways that might cause our heart to beat more rapidly or more vigorously and squeeze harder. And these are feelings that we can sense in our chest, and why it's normal for us to feel when we're in love or when we're heartbroken that a lot is going on with our heart. When really it's the brain that's kind of serving as the master orchestrator.
And is that because it's causing your body to release certain chemicals that do this to your heart?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of those chemicals are adrenaline or adrenaline-like chemicals that are released directly into the heart by connections that originate in the brain. Or adrenaline itself that is released by other organs in the body that then the heart senses and responds to. And an important key is that you know, these hormonal signals don't go on unchecked. So, you know, like anything else in life, we don't want too much of anything. And so it's actually a wonderful thing when we have, you know, a flow or a surge of adrenaline and adrenaline-like hormones when we're in love or feel that we're in love. And these are things that are, you know, these are events that are good for the heart, not unlike, you know, exercising, you know, physical activity. But like anything else, if it's sustained and unchecked, it can lead to problems over the long term. But fortunately, typically when we're in love, you know, we don't lose ourselves permanently and completely, and we bring ourselves back down to earth.
Usually. So
usually.
on the flip side, is there a physical thing such as heartbreak?
There really is, and that's a really interesting and important question. So again, you know, the common interpretation of what heartbroken or heartbreak means is really a sense that it originates in the brain. It's a perception of loss and confusion that obviously provokes sadness. And with that sadness that is, you know, largely in the brain, there is frequently a kind of episodic release of chemicals and hormones that the heart will feel, and that might cause the heart to speed up at times if it's one that's associated with anxiety, an emotion which we feel when we're anxious, or if we're particularly sad, it might slow our heart down. But again, typically this is short-lived. But once again, because it might, you know, yield changes in our heart rate or how hard our heart is beating, we will feel it in our chest. Typically, not all the time. Typically, it comes in little pulses in terms of what we'll feel. There's also an actual clinical diagnosis that's called the broken heart syndrome. At least colloquially, casually, it's called the broken heart syndrome, and that is actually a real clinical condition when the heart actually does get sick, and it happens, fortunately, in a very, very scant minority of people under very stressful circumstances. So it's not anything that people need to be worried about happening to them. We don't understand why the people that do develop it are susceptible to it, because certainly, most people that have even, you know, major emotional events won't develop it. But it does happen in a few people, and it's a real cardiovascular condition that needs to be evaluated and treated.
Wow. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Dr. Peter Crawford. He is the director of the Cardiovascular Metabolism Program at Sanford Burnham Prebys Medical Discovery Institute in Florida. That is a mouthful.
It is. So, it is. Well, we have a wonderful array of friends and partners, and obviously we were reflected in that way.
That's great. And it was very nice of you to join us. I saw on the internal emails at your organization that you somebody said, oh, we could lend a little warm Florida to the northern Minnesota folks. So thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. I understand you're at -2 degrees Fahrenheit today.
Yeah.
And I realize how soft I become moving to Florida a year and a half ago, where I find myself complaining about, sadly, temperatures in the 40s Fahrenheit. Obviously up there, it's a different ball game on Lake Superior.
That's true.
You make people in the upper peninsula of Michigan look like lightweight.
We try. Well, in either case, whether you're, happily in love or you're going through a tough time, what can people do to keep their hearts more healthy, Dr. Crawford? What are some of the basic things, both nutrition and other things?
Yeah, and it really does come back down to that brain-heart connection. And it's not all that dissimilar. You know, for example, if we're feeling like we're suffering from a broken heart because of, a love interest that passed, or if it's a seasonal type of thing, for example, in northern Minnesota, where it's, the daylight is not as much of a prominent part of the day and it's colder, you know, that can evoke similar kinds of negative feelings and sentiments that really can create an unhealthy dialogue, if you will, between our brains and our hearts. And so, yes, we have to consciously resist those negative sentiments from taking over us and really leading to poor decisions in terms of what we eat. In terms of, you know, eating too much in terms of simple sugars. So whether we're in love and it's too many chocolates, or whether, you know, we've been heartbroken recently, or we're sad for another reason and making poor nutritional choices in that way, we certainly need to be aware that we want to balance what we're eating in terms of the distribution of carbohydrates and fats and protein, and then the carbohydrates that we eat are better to be more complex sugars that we would get from fruits and vegetables, for example. And also, yes, staying active is very important. So, you know, I keep coming back to this brain-heart connection. Our heart really is very much a recipient of what's going on in the brain, and if there are sort of triggers for poor choices in terms of what we eat or how much we do or how little we do in terms of our physical activity, that's going to have adverse consequences on the heart, both in the short and long term.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that not only does the brain affect the heart directly in terms of how you feel, but then your brain, there's sort of a different pathway where if you make various choices, that will also affect your heart health.
It really does. And you know, what's so interesting about what we're finding is that, you know, we're realizing that the choices that we make in terms of the foods that we eat and the chemicals that are released by our body by physical activity, they all work together and can either collaborate together in a way that creates sort of a healthy dialogue between our brain and our heart, or they can conspire against us and create sort of an unpleasant dialogue between our brain and our heart. And that really is what kind of sets us up for, you know, long-term wellness or a pathway that might be a vicious cycle where we can head in the wrong direction. So a huge part of what we're trying to do is understand how to unravel the complexities of that nutrient mix and the hormonal signals that our bodies are creating in response to those nutrient mixes and activity levels in a way that helps us sort of drive home in a personalized fashion, you know, mechanisms that we can help people understand what is going to lead them on that pathway to long-term wellness.
Can you recommend a website or two or a book or two that people could go to for more information on this brain-heart connection?
That is a great question. There are a number of authors that write on this relationship, and it's actually one that that relationship that it's very much materializing and emerging. And I think a lot of what we find in books is based in incredibly solid science, but also some degree of speculation. And so I think, like anything else, we have to be attentive to taking in new information and being embracing it and excited about it. But also, as scientists, having a healthy skepticism for what we're reading and really try to understand the science that backs it up. So I don't have any particular specific recommendations, but I certainly do encourage people to learn about the brain-heart connections and also understand studies that are done in a rigorous fashion kind of randomized, as we would say, and controlled, are the ones that we want to put our stock in and really believe in. And the ones that tend to be a little bit more observational or have a commercial nature to them, those are the ones that we want to be a little bit more skeptical of.
Yeah, good advice for any scientific study, I'm sure.
Exactly.
So I want to thank you for your time, Dr. Crawford. And one more question before we let you go. How does a cardiologist celebrate Valentine's Day?
That's great. So, and that's a question that I get a lot. And it's actually the way I commonly think about it is I need to think of every day as Valentine's Day. And I do my best to treat my wife in a way that she deserves, because she's just an absolutely phenomenal person wife and mother, and I try to do that every day. Now, I have to add, I have to step it up a little bit on Valentine's Day, absolutely. So typically it involves flowers and making sure the kids are completely in line and appropriate.
All right, good answer. Well, again, thank you so much for your time today, and happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.